Hey, everybody, welcome to Love People and Make Money. This is Kelly McCauzy. I am your host. This is episode number 84. And I am joined by my friend, my special guest, Paul Taubman of digitalmaestro.com. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Kelly. Always happy to be here. Always excited just to hang out and speak with you.
I know. Any day that I get to spend some time with you is a really good day. And I know some people say that and they're just blowing flowers up people's butts, but it's not true with you. It is true with you. Like, you always make me smile.
As do you. And I always get a kick. So when you said, oh, I'm here with my good friend, I'm like, yeah, how many times do people get introduced like that? But I know it's true.
It's true. Paul is a very good friend, and I miss you, man. It has been we get to see each other online fairly frequently, but it's been too damn long since we've done things in person.
Yeah, a long time, long time.
So, I miss my people time.
Things are opening up. So this is cool. 84, you said, huh? Episode 84.
Episode 84 of Love People and Make Money.
So here's a little random fact you probably knew this. 84 is what's known as a twin prime number.
Ooh.
So 41 and 43, both prime numbers, add them up, baby. 84.
Gotcha.
And that's how my crazy brain works.
If I had graduated high school, I would have graduated in the class of 1984. I did not graduate high school. I dropped out in my junior year. So Paul, gosh, those of you listening to this podcast, PDQ, like super fast, as soon as I've shared it, Paul is part of Great Big Life and Biz Bundle. I just want to mention that really quick. If you're listening to this after November 10th, just never mind that. It's too late. You missed that bolt. But Great Big Life and Biz Bundle is a collection of full version resources and trainings and memberships and all kinds of cool things. And Paul, you have an SEO course that you are creating. Yep. Creating it. Is this the first time you've created this particular course?
For this course, it is. I have talked a lot about the content in my private membership group, but this is the first time it's kind of being opened up to everybody. And it's going to be all new and probably a little bit different than what people expect.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to kind of dig into a couple of things. You know, there's a couple primary, really popular plugins that people use. So we'll talk about those. And there's a new kid on the block that I'm really excited about. So we'll be kind of talking about that one as well. It's always good to have options.
What are you calling your SEO course?
I don't know, like Paul's Amazing SEO Course?
That sounds good. But what'd you really call it? I'm about to go look at the sales page. Oh, well, you said WordPress SEO 2021 is what you said.
Yeah, in the bundle. That's the name. And that's really what it is. You know, so primarily we build websites with WordPress, probably 98, maybe even 99%. I'll say 98, because there are, I know, two sites that we do that are not WordPress, but everybody loves WordPress just because it's easy to use and configure and work with and that kind of stuff. So we're primarily going to be concentrating with that. But SEO really is something that affects every website that's on the net, regardless. Well, that's kind of redundant, right? Every website that's on the net. You got to be on the net. Unless it's a port. Well, forget it. Okay. So anyway. So every website needs to be optimized for the search engines if you want to be found. So. Applies to everything.
Yes. Yes. Gosh, I'm in this Facebook group for connecting with podcast opportunities. So there's hosts looking for guests and guests looking to be interviewed. And there's this gal who has a really good looking podcast. And when I went to go check her out, I noticed that she has a page on her website for her podcast, but she links to, if for you to go listen to it or watch or check out any episode, she links to Apple, she links to Spotify, she links to all the podcast outlets. And I messaged her, I commented and I said, I noticed that you're linking out to all the podcast distribution sites. Where are your show notes on your home website? And, you know, the question, she's like, oh, well, I don't do that. And I've noticed, I think that these modern podcasting teachers are actually coaching people to do this. Because on one hand, it is perfectly effective to say, want to listen, go over here to Apple and listen, go over here to Amazon and listen. But there's no content that represents those episodes on your own website. And so for me, it's an SEO blunder, because as a guest, if I'm going to be a guest on someone's podcast, one of my benefits, one of my long-term benefits is a live followed link from that website. So
I completely agree. I think people are, so number one, it is a good strategy to go out on all of those syndication sites. Mm-hmm. Right. You send your link to one place and it will do it for you. Or you could go select which ones you want to manually update those and do all that kind of stuff. Definitely good to get out there because, like you said, if somebody's on iTunes and they're searching, boom, you get found. Right. They can hear you. They can listen and consume your content. However, you're right. They are missing a huge, big, repository of information on their website. Their website should be that hub. Where all the other syndicated podcast sites point back to her site. All her social media comes back to her site. You know, I remember working with actors and actresses, and they said, oh, I really don't need a website. I go, oh, that's interesting. How come? Oh my gosh, I'm already on IMDb. I'm on the casting call place. I'm on social media. I'm posting all the time. I said, that's great. That'll get you visibility. But think about, in their cases, producers or casting call agents, they have to go to all these different sites, selecting, sort of compile the information about you and do work. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice if you can have one central place where, boom, everything that you want to give them is right there? You're making their job easy. They're happy. A happy agent is going to be somebody that wants to work with you. The same thing holds true with podcasts, right? You can have your stuff all over, but that means somebody has to, number one, most of those places don't allow show notes, right? Number two, show notes as text becomes indexable, right? And that itself adds a whole dimension to being found too. So yeah, when your website's the hub of things for your podcast, for your show notes, you can link to other related ones nice and easy. And you're right. Bottom line, missed opportunity.
Yeah. I concur. My podcast is on all of these distribution sites. Hell yes. I want you to find me wherever you're listening to a podcast. And my RSS feed does offer up show notes to these distribution systems, which they use however they want. But none of those links are actually followable in regards to SEO juice. Mm-hmm. And so while there's definitely some search value to being on all these different distributed websites, my home base is the link that gives you the love in Google. When I link to Paul, it will be a followed relevant link to his website and to his course. And that helps your long-term SEO goals. Yes.
Yep. And if you think about it, if I'm listening over on Spotify this time, right, and I'm listening to your podcast or somebody else's podcast and go, oh, I really like that. The next thing that I'm going to do, since I'm on Spotify, I'm probably going to be searching around Spotify for something else. Now, maybe for your podcast, a different episode, or maybe something completely different. If yeah. I was on your website, listening, consuming the content, at the end of it, I'm going to go, oh, that was pretty good. Holy smokes, I'm on your website now. Let me click yeah. around and see what else you have to offer. How yeah. else can you know you share your great things with me? Yeah. So I agree with the website part.
I always call my listeners back to my website. Like I will, like I'll say, come on back to lovepeoplemakemoney.com and look for episode number 84. You'll find all the links that I've mentioned today that Paul and I have talked about today. And those links are going to be, some of those are going to be affiliate links. And, you know, all my podcast episodes are an opportunity for me to build my list to have an opt-in offer on those pages. There's no, I mean, you can mention opt-in offers in show notes, but you've got to ask them, you know, to click back to your website or your landing page. Just don't make people do things the hard way.
That's exactly it. Make it easy. The easier you make it for somebody may require you to do a little bit more work yourself, but it would definitely be well worth it.
Yeah. Paul, you've given a lot of time and effort into networking. And you're part of BNI. You've been part of BNI Living for a long time.
What's for about been 4 years now.
What's your favorite thing about it?
So my favorite thing about BNI, or actually any networking group, is when I'm talking to somebody, you know, whatever it is, casually, as a friend or as a business person or whomever, and they bring up the fact that they have a need, and I can think, oh, I know somebody that can help you with that. And connecting those people to live happily ever after for that transaction, that makes me happiest the most. So it's not necessarily the fact that I'm networking and getting business, or that I'm networking and somebody's going to buy something from me on the spot. Because rarely in my business does that ever happen. Nobody will ever say, oh, let's work together today. Right? It's a relationship that forms. And so being a resource for other people, that's always the best. That's what I like the most.
So I mentioned this podcast collaboration group that I'm in, and I'm going to link to it in the show notes because So Tisha or Melissa recommended this collaboration Facebook group to me. I joined it and I immediately became pretty overwhelmed by the noise. Like everybody and their brother wants to be a guest on podcasts. And when a host posts and says, I'm looking for, there will be, you know, 25, 50, 100 replies. Mm. And then I just get overwhelmed and think, I don't even know what I want to say about myself in the midst of all this noise. But the Facebook group owner, Sarah, she asked for an email address. When I signed up for the Facebook group. And so I received a delightful email saying, you know, welcome to the community Facebook group. Here's how to participate. And then she mentions that she has an exclusive podcast collab club membership. It's only $15 a month. I went and joined that immediately. I'm like, yes, I want to zoom in. I want to get out of the noise of the constant clamor of the freebie seekers. I want to Zoom in and spend time with people who are a yes to this membership. $15 a month is super, super affordable. I'm like, yes, I'm in. Well, she does a networking session. And I attended that last Thursday. And I immediately thought about you. I'm like, oh gosh, Paul needs to do this. For $15 a month, Paul needs to do this. Because so she has she uses Air Meat, which I really like. Have you experienced Air Meat?
Is that Adobe?
No.
Oh, that's a new platform. It's
pretty new.
Okay.
With Air Meat, she can set up a certain number of tables. And after she greeted us all, then she said, okay, like here, we're going to have three rounds of small table networking, each one 15 minutes. So I'm going to send you back out to the lobby. Just go grab a seat at a table and then your table, you're all going to introduce yourselves and share what it is you're looking for. And I really enjoyed it. Quick hi, this is who I am and this is what I'm looking for. It certainly opens the door for you to be a guest on podcasts, but at the same time, it's just that, hey, I just met, you know, three or four new people at each of these little meet and greets. And I just remember thinking Paul needs to do it, A, because of the networking, B, because like, I swear to God, each group that I was in, there was somebody who was like, I don't have a website. I only have like my Instagram. And I'm just like, oh God, babe, like you need a website. But anyways, the link to the Facebook group will be in the show notes. So you guys can go check it out and then just give her a good email address when you register for the Facebook group, because she will reach out to you. You are put on a mailing list, but it's a good mailing list. She's not spamming me. I did join the membership. I did enjoy the meet and greet. I will look forward to doing that consistently. And I met somebody who I'm really excited to have as a guest on my podcast. Are there any other favorite networking things that you do besides BNI?
So there's a couple local meetup groups, and that's kind of how things started, I think, more locally. So when I first started my business, you probably remember this. Remember way back when we used to have conferences and network, or not, they weren't network events, they were conferences and events.
Yeah.
So when I started, I literally was working full time. So my vacation time on the weekends was typically flying, you know, to California or Florida or Atlanta, right? Houston, attending these business conference events, business building events, and speaking, and or, you know, had a booth and kind of educating. And from that, people go, oh, I'd love to work with you. Let's, you know, follow up. Well, about 4 years ago, I started to think, you know, it was the big epiphany, otherwise known as like getting hit in the side of the head with a 2x4 going, you know, there's got to be plenty of business here in New Jersey. Why am I flying all over the place? What would it be like if I just did business locally? So that's when I started looking around at different meetups and BNI, and that's kind of when more of the networking really started to happen. So there are a couple, you know, there's a really nice one that I belong to. It's small, maybe 20 people or so. We used to meet literally at the local coffee shop, which was fun. You know, working on my own at home, like I don't go anywhere anymore. Right? It's even pre-pandemic, I'd be working from home. People go to work, I move to the other room.
Yeah.
So it was nice just to get out and kind of interact with real people in person. So I had that group. I joined a group called the Natural Life Business Partnership, which is run by Camille Miller, that you know, Camille. And I'm a, you know, part of that group. So there are big groups and some smaller groups. And I think BNI is the most structured, which people absolutely love about it. People also absolutely hate about it, the fact that it's structured like that. And it's helped me develop, you know, good networking skills throughout. So
all this networking that you do, when you show up to BNI, when you go to these community groups, making that initial contact, your website, digitalmaestro.com, is beautiful. It's effective. It's well organized. It establishes you as an authority. It puts people at ease. You know, you go out there and you get all this local visibility, and then they follow up with you and they come experience this website, and it just affirms, like, oh, this guy I just met, he's so smart and his website looks so good. It's so congruent. How sad is it that some people are out there putting themselves out there, making connections, meeting people, but they don't have any website, or they have a website that has become the redheaded stepchild of their business and it doesn't look good. And you want people's websites to be visible, and you want it to look good. As you've networked around, and you know, we don't know your neighbors, so you can make up a name, but have you ever networked with somebody and gone back, you looked at their website and just thought, oh my God, like, what a mess.
Oh yeah. That happens all the time. Right. And depending on who it is and what the relationship is with the person, sometimes it's practicing restraint. And other times I can literally say, dude, what is up with your website? You're kidding me, right? Who did it? It's like, well, you know, I thought, so it was kind of funny. One of my best friends, he has a brick and mortar store, and it was probably many, many, many years that he had somebody else doing his website before he came to me and said, all right, I need your help. And throughout that time, I would still kind of give him advice and say, hey, have you thought about this? Why don't you check with your person about that? And it was like, oh, you know, he's just not responsive to me, or I don't know what he's doing. He's kind of, you know, it was his, like, the neighbor's daughter's boyfriend who's home from college on spring break, got on parole, and he's going to build you a website, right? It's that kind of thing. Whereas when we do things, we look at the whole picture, security, making it marketing effective, making it, you know, found in SEO, all those things. And once he did that, he goes, oh yeah, you know, I don't know why I was hesitant. I thought it was because maybe we're just friends. I didn't really trust you, because he knows the shenanigans that I can get into because he was there with me. And, you know, otherwise it's, you know, going forward now, things are, and we've been working together now for 3 or 4 years, and it's all good.
I think so many people, so many offline business owners have hired the barber's nephew, you know, or the cousin, or the neighbor to build them a website. And I think about, like you mentioned, the importance of security with your website. Like, when you're trusting somebody to design your website present so that all the visibility that you work so hard for results in what you want, it has to look good. It has to be fast. People have to be able to find what they're looking for. It has to be able it has to be secure. It can't be breaking down every other day. There's so much to it. And you're that digital maestro I hate that term, one-stop shop, in a way. You are a specialist in creating a website that does what they want to do, that can be found, that is secure, that can be trusted.
Yeah, and we've done it enough times that we know what works and what doesn't work. Yeah. So when a client asks, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, I usually will respond with something like, "Ooh, okay, great, we can do that. And here's what would happen as a result," right? It could be good things happen or it could be bad things that happen, right? And if it's bad things, kind of start to sway the conversation, talk about how we can take what their intent is, because a lot of times people have the intent of, "Ooh, I want to do this because I think XYZ will happen." Yeah. When in fact, just the opposite might happen. So when we look at the intent and what the reason is that they're looking to do that, there's usually a different way that that can happen. We talk about it, and you know, it's up to the client to decide which one they want to do. Hopefully they're listening to me and saying, "Okay, great, let's go with, you know, ABC instead of XYZ."
Yeah. So is it, I make up that you're first of all, you're a really good teacher. You're patient. You're not judging people for their questions and suggestions, but you're going to gently redirect them and point out the consequences so they can make a wise choice.
Yeah. And even if their choice goes against something that I want, it's still their decision. I'm happy to work with them. You know, the biggest example of this, I think, is there's a client currently who we're talking about, I hate to say it, but we're increasing her rates, right? Mm-hmm. Time has come, instead of doing just website management and backups and maintenance once a week, nobody should be doing it just once a week. I'm sorry, once a month. Once a month is just not enough with all the vulnerabilities that's out there. So we're actually discontinuing a monthly plan. Whew, mm-hmm. saying that, right? A monthly plan. And everybody is being asked to move over onto a weekly plan, right? Which means that their rates are going up. So when I had a conversation with her to let her know this is why they're going up, they're getting more value for just the price that they're paying. There is an increase, but it's not as much as it could be. She says, "Well, you know, I think there's a group at my local community college that I can get somebody to help with me." I said, "Okay, great. Do you want to, you know, do that?" "Yeah, I think so." I said, "Okay, great. You know, we can set it up so that you can move your website and you can, you know, take the necessary steps to do whatever it is that you want to do. You know, kind of, we can end our business relationship here. And, you know, I'm here if you ever need anything." And she's like, "Oh, okay, great. Thanks, you. I appreciate that. How do I do that?" And I'm like, how do you do what? Like, how will I move the website? I said, "Well, that's probably a good test to find out if the person you want to work with can handle the work."
Yeah.
So.
That's so funny. So, oh yeah. So what a ballsy move for you to make. So you provide security services. Digital Maestro will adopt a website and take care of it, monitor it, update it, make sure backups are running, make sure that there are no vulnerabilities. You're aware of the vulnerabilities that are out there because you make that your business and then you update that. And you're saying you've been offering this as a monthly service and your knowledge of vulnerabilities has just told you that monthly is not good enough.
Yeah. In the past, so plugins, which are part of the website, right? They add additional functionality to your website. A website can have 3 to 50 different plugins. Mm-hmm. In the past, as we were monitoring those, there used to be maybe 5 or 6 vulnerabilities a week that were discovered.
Yeah.
So we would just kind of review things and just 5 or 6, easy enough. Well, more recently, the end of August, I think, was the highest. There were 75 in 1 week. And the number typically is in the 50s and 60s. So yeah. To think that somebody's being safe if we just update once a month, that's a false sense of security. We can't do that. So in our mind, we said, you know what? In order to do 4 or 5 times the amount of work, we have to increase the rates.
Yeah.
And I understand that some people are on a budget, they can't afford that, and they have to find somebody else, and we're okay with that. Of course, we want people to stay. We want to be able to serve them and continue, but it's not. So it's like changing the oil in your car. You know when you need to do it. And depending on the type of traveling you're doing, you may need to do it more frequently than, you know, what was originally suggested.
Yeah.
And for some people, they enjoy doing it themselves. And other people just go, no, thank you. Yeah. I'm bringing it to the local place down the road. And they can take care of it because they have the tools, they have the know-how, they know how to do things the right way. And, you know, if that nut snaps off as they're unscrewing it, they can fix it.
So if someone has a single website that they want to hire you, to monitor you monitor for vulnerabilities. Oh, yeah. You make sure plugins and everything behind the scenes are updated and that the website is as secure as it can possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
If they have one single website and you're doing that every week, what's it going to cost?
We also monitor, make sure that the website is up. Every 5 minutes, we're checking to make sure that site is up. We're retaining backups up to 3 months. The backups get made daily. So if somebody, you know, breaks their website inadvertently themselves, or if they get hacked, we can go back just to 1 day. So we're handling that as well. Making sure it's got an SSL certificate, which, believe it or not, some sites don't have that anymore. So we're handling that. We're updating all the plugins. If somebody is using premium plugins, and we have an agency license for them, they don't need to worry about renewing that while it's under our care. So that in itself could be, you know, a savings of licensing costs and that kind of thing. So we do this on a weekly basis. So that could be either 4 or 5 times a month, depending on what day, right? If a Wednesday, if the month has 5 Wednesdays, that happens 5 times. If it's only 4 times, happens 4 times. We do all that work for $100 a month.
You do all that work weekly.
Oh yeah,
$100 a month.
Yep,
that's a good price.
I think it is competitive. There are places that will do it for more. There are places that do it for less. Mm-hmm. One of the things that really stands out for us that makes us different, that when I tell people who are kind of my competitors, they go, "You're crazy for doing that." Is when we do the work, we go to your website. We're looking at your website. Mm-hmm. So we have somebody literally logging in and making sure that when the updates happen, things don't break.
Yeah.
There's a lot of automated ways that you can press a button and boom, everything's done. But you never know until you go look at it. And a lot of folks don't.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a big difference. I know that people, you know, can do things by API, you know, log in and connect and push buttons and automate everything. But if a human isn't taking a look at it, I'm not feeling as comfortable.
So a good friend of ours, and you know her, she says, "Oh yeah, I pay you to press the update button." And I go, "Oh my God, you know, yes, I can click the update button and you're really paying me for when that update breaks something and boom, we can get it fixed and running within, you know, minutes as opposed to hours or days." So,
yes,
more than that.
So my listeners are familiar that I own Mom Webs Hosting, and, you know, we run weekly backups and daily backups, but we say that and say, pretend like we don't, because equipment failure, because things can happen. Those backups can only run if there's some place to send them. There's a part of me that wants to just stop running backups for people, just stop saying we do it, because yeah, I mean, I've owned MomWebs since 2004 and we've only had two colossal failures of a server in all those years, so 15 years, two times a server had catastrophic failure, which means the backups were gone along with the website. Both times it broke my heart because I personally knew the people who were impacted by it. The first time it happened, like it was like 2009, it happened to good friends of mine. And we were ignorant. We didn't know as much then about how important it was to be responsible, to run your own backups, to be using a plugin that sends the backup files somewhere else. Because we all thought, oh yeah, I'm running backups. Oh yeah. But we were running backups to our own servers, like just making little copies and tucking it over into a drawer. The first time it happened, it was just like, oh shit. But we can only claim ignorance once. So ever since then, I've said, yep, we run backups, but you must pretend we don't, because we can't guarantee them to you. We just can't. And if we're running nightly backups, but you're not looking at your website regularly, then we may have a bunch of shitty backups. Your site broke 4 days ago and we've been running backups, and now all the backups are of a broken website. We're not monitoring that for you. You're paying, you know, maybe $10 a month. Mm-hmm. You're hosting. You're still responsible for your website. I love MomWebs. I love what we do. I'm proud of what we do. I have come so far to be able to roll with the fact that failure happens. Computers break down. That doesn't mean we suck, you know? But when it happened, most recently, it happened to a VPS server. So a very limited number of clients were impacted, but they were all clients who cared enough about their content to be at VPS level. Yet a significant number of them weren't running backups to another place. A significant number of them were not monitoring their website regularly for vulnerabilities. And it was interesting because one of the gals was one of your clients. Like, she was up and running as soon as human possibly, because there was no like, boop, here's a backup. Boop, here we go. Everything we need. No big deal, little downtime, it sucks, but we're back up and running. There was another client on that server who not only didn't have backups, but had bought a website from someone else and didn't even know where that website was at. Like, I know. Some people who have more than one hosting account can be familiar with this. Which server is that website on? Like, don't even know where to be look for a backup. And yep. That moment, that catastrophic failure, the computer dies. Like, just like you can have a blue screen of death on your home computer, a server can blue screen, just die, be done, unrecoverable. It sucks, but it happens. And so I've got a client who has no website, no backup, no nothing, just lost their entire customer database. That makes me want to throw up. And at the same time, not my responsibility, not my job. Yeah. That's your job.
Unfortunately, that's a lesson that comes around just once. Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Right? And they learn those things. And, you know, while we're speaking about it, it's just something to point out, not necessarily website related, but just your own computer. A lot of people, you know, I use a Mac and it uses Time Machine, right? So I have a hard drive right here on my desk that I'm backing things up. I also back up to the cloud someplace.
Yeah,
because I know that Time Machine is great and I can get it just like that. Right. However, if there's a fire in my house, my backup, yeah. just like you were saying, even though it's an external drive, it's in the same room as my computer. They're yeah. both going to get fried in a fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So just having a backup there is not really the smartest thing either.
Yeah.
So yeah. if you're listening to this and you have your own Mac or PC, which you probably do, make sure you're backing it up and it's not in the place where your computer is.
Yes. Yeah. If you care about the data, take steps to safeguard it. If you care about your website, take steps to safeguard it. If you don't want to manage your backups, if you don't want to verify that they're running, if you don't want to verify that things are updated, hire someone like Paul. $100 a month compared to the loss of income from having your website down for days and days while you're rebuilding everything. Come on.
Or get hacked. The price to restore a hacked website is several hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Paul, we went all over the place. Thank you for just like letting me ask you whatever I want to.
Anytime, anytime. Thanks happy to answer anything
today.
Yeah.
So listeners, show notes are at lovepeoplemakemoney.com. Look for episode number 84. I've got links there to Paul's website, to his SEO course, to his website monitoring service. We mentioned the podcast collaboration group. I've got a link to that in there. And if you need website help, I trust Paul. I recommend Paul.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Paul. Have a great day.
You too. Enjoy. Be well. Bye-bye.